contribution. Do you mind?
Yeah.
I want to ask you about Diksha et al. And the process of getting bhakti. Is it necessary to have Diksha? Because in some places, Prabhupada said in his books that somebody asked him, Prabhupada, what's the reason what we are doing all of this? Because we attract a lot of people, but we can't support them. For what we are doing this, not all of them will get Diksha, and maybe it's nonsense. He said, no. They all are initiated by reading my books.
All right. Well, the point about, you asked about initiation, relationship between initiation and bhakti. I think that's the essence of what you're saying. This verse is a very important verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmata kon bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. So many important points are established here literally in this Bengali shloka, which is the crux of understanding the question at hand. It says that bhakti lata bija, it says guru krishna prasadi pai. First of all, this verse proves that bhakti is not inside the heart of the jiva. This verse proves that bhakti, love of God, is not inside the heart of the jiva. Okay, that's the first point. The jiva has the lakshana, the capacity, that's his lakshana, his srup lakshana, is that he's part of God. Mamayavamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashastrani indirani prakriti stani karshati. Krishna's telling in Gita that the jiva is part of him. And then it says that jivera surupaya krishnera nityadas, the srupa of the jiva, teen shakti beta 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 prakrash. Teen shakti beta. That's the full verse. So the Surup Lakshana means the primary characteristic of the jiva is that this is his position, identity. He's part and parcel of Krishna. Jiva, jivatma, jiva shakti, Krishna's Surup shakti. So that relationship to sambandha is one of seva, but now it's not expressed. It's potential. For thousands of thousands of years, dry wood can lie in your castle, in your store, dry store. And then one day you can bring fire out of that wood. And the fire's there. So bhakti is not in the jiva, but he has the potential to develop, to serve Krishna. So Krishna is told in this verse, in Krishna's Kaviraj, the jiva wanders throughout all the universes, then Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai, by prasad, by grace or mercy of Guru or Krishna, Bhakti Lata Pai. Pai means he receives, he gets, he receives. Doesn't mean he manifests or he manifests his dormant or latent bhakti. No, it's right. Even Prabhupada is translated that way too, I think so, I'm not sure. But it says, anyway, what it means is that he receives the seed, he receives or gets the seed, bhakti lata bijam. Bijam means seed of the bhakti. It's an analogy of a creeper because it's supposed to grow to fruit. He gets it from Krishna or he gets it from Guru. How he gets from Krishna? He gets some spiritual book, a book about bhakti. He's living in Peru. And he got on a bus one day and he found a book lying on the floor. On the way to Krishna or something, I don't know. Something like that. Senor Krishna. Padre Krishna, whatever. And then, what is this thing? So he's reading it, and then, he says, I like this, I'll take more. He puts it in his pocket, then he goes home, and what is that book? He reads it, God is a person, and Krishna, and should chant his name. And then he reads that one book, and somehow Krishna gives him mercy. It says kon, it says Brahmande Brahmate kon. Kon means anyone, any jiva. What jiva? We don't know which jiva. Kon. Kone. Who is it? Who? Which one? Who won? Kon. It's causeless. Bhakti is causeless. We don't know. It's a hoitiki. There's no cause. Then he Krishna gives him bhakti right then and there. And he starts chanting in Peru. And he starts... Yeah, he got some book, Handbook of Krishna Ganesha, whatever. He starts offering his food, became vegetarian, and he went on Google and typed in Tulsi plant and got seeds in the mail, grew some Tulsi, and he was chanting for Tulsi. He's doing bhakti. He'll get prema. It's a fact. Bas. Guru is antaryami. Antaryami. Antra means inside. Yami means gone. Gone inside is antaryami. If we try to limit bhakti, it's not bhakti. It's said that bhakti is the jyoti. You know, we say it in Catholic land or whatever, Western land. Halo. You ever heard this term? Halo. Like paintings of Jesus, because, you know, we're all from different countries, whatever. When they see paintings of Jesus or saintly person, there's always some yellow circle around the back of their head. It's like effulgence, halo, they call it halo. Angel with a halo. So this is called jyoti in Sanskrit. So this, I just lost track of what I was saying. But, Bhakti is the jyoti of Radharani. It's her halo. It's the effulgence of Radha. Because what is bhakti? Bhakti is two beautiful female potencies. The Vidya Shakti and Prem Shakti. Ladini Shakti. Love and knowledge. Very powerful forces. invincible forces. Love and knowledge. Love for knowledge. Knowledge of love. Love of knowledge. All are necessary. If you don't know how to love, you can't love. That's why Prabhupada in his books, he says, if we learn to love God, then we love everyone. Because everyone's within him. He's within everyone. Mayata tamidam saram jagat avyaktamurtina matstani starvabhutani. That's the verses there, 9-4 Gita. It's bhakti is not locked up inside institutions. You can only get it here, folks. No, we have no other shop. We only have one shop. This is a very common thing in India. People have one shop, Agarwal Sweet Shop, and then some guy down the street opens up another shop, and he calls it that. And then these people write on their bag, we have no branch. This is the main branch. This is Agarwal Sweet Shop. This one. We have no branch. Krishna has unlimited branches. Krishna's sweet shops are everywhere. Anywhere you go and you chant Hare Krishna, you taste sweet. You know? So you can get a Krishna sweet anytime you chant his name. You know? It's like this. I met many people over the years, rather devotees, and they're full-on devotees, and they don't have any what we call external guru. But maybe they had last life an external guru. Very difficult, impossible to judge anyone, unless you're Trikalagyan. If I can see your last life, then I can know a lot about why you're this life. And if I see your future, I understand a lot of where you're going to be. But I can't. So there's three phases of time. Your past, you're eternal. You're moving in eternal time. You're moving in through eternal time, the Atma, through different bodies that experience three phases of time. So you had in the past you had a body. In the present, I see you have a body. In the future, you have a body. spiritual body or material body. So unless I can see all these three, your full being is three phases of time. If I only make judgment on one, I'm only judging 33% of you. So that's called misjudgment, which is so prevalent in Kali Yuga. Misconception, misjudgment. What can these two eyes see anyway? Even the best Jyotishi is called the eye of God. He's a Jyoti. Jyoti means light. Jyotishi. It says Ishi means light. Eye. Jyoti means light. The eye of light. Jyotishi. He's supposed to be able to see, and you go to one, he sees it this way. You go to another one, he sees it a different way. The same me. So it means it's puzzling. It's difficult to see the person. Even now is kundali, is karma. Even more difficult astrology is past life astrology. What you were then predictive or forecasting astrology, even more difficult. So even astrology, who is supposed to be the knowledge inside the karma of the individual, even that has so many fallacies and problems. What I saw in Prabhupada's life, if he met someone that had bhakti, he simply fanned the fires of the bhakti, you know. If someone has love for God, it will express itself automatically. He'll be a vegetarian, most probably even a vegan, which is probably much nowadays, I would say, much more responsible way to be a vegetarian. No doubt about that. I remember when I was 18, I didn't have anything to do with this kind of the time, just my own development, although I had a very unfortunate upbringing as a Malechan Yavana, born in America, like the rest of everyone there. When I was 18, though, I understood that. I read a lot of books on yoga, meditation, whatnot. I understood that there's no such thing as God consciousness or realizing God unless you're a vegetarian and very clear about that. And then God became one fully, and what everything that means, and no leather shoes and wallets and the whole bond and everything. But that was considered very broad and wide open consciousness to make that choice in 1969 or so, when I was 18. You know, old man. So I was 18 then, and I was last year of high school or so. Hadn't gone to college yet. That was a major, major revolutionary decision, and that Melu. But now, that was considered very responsible and highly spiritual move. And it was motivated for spiritual reasons also. But nowadays, I would say that the real genuine expression of spirituality would be to become a vegan. I'll tell you the truth, because it's one step beyond. The vegetarian is okay, it's good for your own health and your own karma and the world's karma also. You lower the scale a little bit, but still the violence and unmentionable violence to mother cow, it makes you also a criminal there. You're still connected, whether you're directly eating it. If you're only drinking milk as a vegetarian, then the cow will be killed for your milk. And if you're not a vegetarian, that's obvious what's happening there. So either way, you lose. The only viable alternative is have your own cow and protect for her old life and have many little babies come, and you have to take care of every single one of them, the boys and the girls. And then you'll be free from any karma. And you'll be blessed by the demigods. But if you send one of those animals off, away from your farm, forget it. Which is done. Yeah, I've seen it in Vrindavan. I've been here for 29 years. Many wealthy people even have a little bit of land. Not much land, but they have a few cows. Very, very wealthy people in Vrindavan. Brahmins. They have some cows, and it gets old, not much milk. Put her on the street. I understood that once when I was renting a room over there in that place, and that cow was coming back to that house, or some cow, I didn't know whose cow, what cow, and a big healthy cow, and then the gatekeeper was hitting with a stick, beating, when I was coming, I said, "Stop that, you asura." And I said, "Stop it." And I stopped him physically. I said, "What are you doing?" And he got on my case. No, you don't know. I said, "What is this? No, this cow." I said, "What's the story?" Because I know a little Hindi, something. He said, "This cow, we lived here for 8 years, this, that, and Mataji put outside, now wants to come back because that's where he was born. So we have to drive her away." I said, but then, of course, being on the street means they get kidnapped because there's a whole group of moguls that go around with trucks, pick up all the cows. Right now, tonight even. I go over Braj Mandal. I have one friend who's a Bhavaji, and he's really a Kshatriya Bhavaji, Bengali. He has a motorcycle and a gun, and he was making a joke with me the other night. I didn't know this was some new engagement. He just got inspired this way or whatever. It's not exactly bhajan. I said to him also, he said, I'm sorry, I can't. My mind can't be peaceful. He's a Kshatriya type, a very exceptional, unusual type. He said, "You know, every night I'm doing Parikrama, Radhakund, Nandagram, Barsana, Yavat." He was saying like that. I said, "Wow, that's some serious walking." Nandagram, Barsana, Yavat. You know, there's like a whole, and then Kamyavan. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm following these cow rustlers, or whatever you want to call them, cow thieves." And then I try to break up their business and shoot and this and that, and they shoot back. And so this is an unfortunate thing in the Kali Yuga nowadays, right here in Braj. It's unmentionable. So in the face of all that, to make a statement about all that and try to improve the situation, becoming a vegan is the best choice. But then the arguments are there, Krishna's bhog, etc. But maybe those handful of temples that have to follow the very rigid rules of the Shastra and offer so many milk products, they would have to continue that. Some individuals with their own little deities, they can, it's like Babaji, they just offer, they get a little madhukari and offer the madhukari to the Giriraj or whatever, just to, they show it to him, although it's already offered. And they eat it. And so everyone else can offer something to their Thakurji. Giriraj is Sakshat Krishna, you can offer Giriraj Chapan Bhog every day if you're rich, Chapan Bhog. But they don't have that facility. So if our philosophy is something different about them, milk products, you do milk products, manasi, seva, in your mind. And I fully believe in this philosophy. I stopped taking any kind of milk that I couldn't trace out exactly where it came from years ago. And even for some time I didn't take milk, so I couldn't find any place like that. Right now I have one place that I know it's okay. I'm giving donations there also. But as soon as I can't find, I won't take. I fully support the vegan approach to things. I think it's very Krishna conscious. Because Krishna didn't tell, you know, if I have some temple that's coming down in some institution, then there's a standard set by the Acharya, then that all that karma and relationship is between the Thakurji of that temple and the founder Acharya, and I'm simply the servant of that tradition. But if I'm establishing my own life of puja with an independent Thakurji, especially as a Westerner, it's not some tradition coming down from the Acharya. It's my own choice. Just like if you go on a juice diet, then I'm sure your Thakurji is going to eat lots of juice. And maybe you won't be even eating, you know, wouldn't even be cooking separately for him. So that might be considered violent, you know. I mean, Krishna's not a fruitarian. I mean, okay, you don't want to give me any cheese and rubbery and sweet rice, but at least give me some, you know, pakoras and chutney and some puris and some halva, you know, and some nuts and some, you know, not ghee, I guess not ghee, but cooking some, you know, peanut oil or whatever, you know. Is that juice? But that happens because the Thakurji is pretty adaptable to the dietary necessities of the pujaris, and what we've seen. So what to speak of, no, milk bond if the Pujari decides to become a vegan and does a milk bun, I'm sure Krishna will be pleased, ultimately. But you should do elaborate monastic offering of milk offerings. And think, because in your mind you can cook the things you don't know how to cook. And like me, I don't even know how to cook. So I just heat up a little khichdi and stuff to live on for 28 years. But when I sit down and do manasi for Radha Shyam and Gaura, then I can, I don't think about how I'm making it, because I don't know how to make it. I just think I'm offering you this and whatever I've seen here and there, and my other people, or things I've eaten that are good. And I say, Yiraj, I'm offering this nice upma, and it's, the greens are all fried nicely, and it's got pea. You know, it's like that. I never even made it once in my life. No, I just same old thing every day. I don't want to take in the time for that, you know, outside. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe 6 o'clock I go on prayer.